he passed away a couple of years ago. Chanan Porat, one of the paratroopers that was in the same unit as Chanan Porat, they're part of the book written by Yossi Klein Halevi, They Were Like Dreamers, was Rav Yoel Ben Nun. And Rav Yoel Ben Nun said that there's a very, very moving interview that he gave that I have at home. This was published over the weekend in Israel when I was there. He said that there were more than 100 paratroopers killed in the battle for Jerusalem. More paratroopers were killed in the battle for Jerusalem than were killed in the entire Yom Kippur War amongst the paratroopers. The Yom Kippur War, the casualties were the pilots and the people in the tanks. He said it was really a very, very costly war, the battle for Jerusalem. So I'm a 17-year-old boy, a senior in Yeshiva University High School in Brooklyn. And I remember that year, I think they call it the Israel Day Parade today, but in those days it was called the Salute to Israel Parade. And I remember going to the Salute to Israel Parade, and there was a lot of tension. You know, we had some awareness of the Egyptians closing the Straits of Tiran, the warmongering, the talk. We remember Abdul Gamal Nasser. He was a pretty scary person, at least the way he spoke. And there was a tremendous spirit at the Israel Day Parade. I remember Yom Ha'atzmaut, not the same way I would remember it on a day like today, and certainly not the way anyone who was in Israel would remember it. But the day after Yom Ha'atzmaut, they used to have something called the Israel Song Festival. And it was the day after Yom Ha'atzmaut of that year. It was the day after Yom Ha'atzmaut that year in Israel, the Israel Song Festival, 24 hours after Yom Ha'atzmaut. Well, that's what Rabbi Yoel Ben Nun says, that's when it took place. Maybe I'm wrong. But sometime around Yom Ha'atzmaut is when they had the Israel Song Festival in Israel, and Naomi Shemer wrote a song called Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. And Yerushalayim Shel Zahav sort of put the focus of the nation on Jerusalem as well. It wasn't only about what was happening in the Sinai. It wasn't only the threat of the Egyptians, but somehow the Israelis began to focus on Jerusalem. It became a very, very powerful song. I remember Rav Aaron Lichtenstein telling us that Yerushalayim Shel Zahav is, even though it's not technically a religious song, it's just such an important song. It's one of the important songs of our time. He told us that in 1968, the year after, when I was at YU and I was in his class. So I remember the tension, and I remember the morning that the war broke out, my mother woke me up to go to school. And she said, there's a war in Israel. It was a Monday morning. And we're listening to the radio, and the reports that were coming in over the radio at that time, the very beginning of the war, were all the reports that were coming out of Cairo, the reports about the Israelis suffering terrible losses, the Egyptians triumphing and moving forward, and it sounded terrible. It was also the first year of what was called all news all the time, 10-10 wins. And one of the heroes for me of the war, even though he wasn't fighting the war, was a fellow by the name of Jay Bushinsky, who was reporting from Jerusalem. And he was the one, you know, you have to be an objective reporter, but he was clearly rooting for Israel in that war. And he gave the regular reports, the things that were of great significance. I remember before the war was when Moshe Dayan was appointed as the defense minister. And then when Levi Eshkol decided to have a unity government, and Menachem Begin was brought into the government as a minister without portfolio, and for the first time in the history of the state of Israel, there was actually a unity government. That means everyone, all the different parties were represented in the government of Israel. It was like the Israeli government was speaking with one voice. It was just an incredible, incredible kind of feeling. So we came to school. I remember going to school. I used to take the train from Sheepshead Bay, the BMT train from Sheepshead Bay to Church Avenue. One of the ways we went, sometimes we took the Coney Island Avenue bus to Church Avenue, but we took the train. We used to walk from the Church Avenue station to Bedford Avenue and Church Avenue, where BTA was. And we came into school, and none of the teachers wanted to teach, and none of the kids really wanted to learn. And so we went into the office, we took manila envelopes, and we decided we're going to go to Manhattan. We went on trains, and we wrote on the manila envelopes, Israel Emergency Fund. So Some people might remember the name. We're just walking around with an envelope, walking up and down the trains, Israel Emergency Fund, walking in Manhattan, and people just peeling out dollar bills, $10 bills, $5 bills. You know, we hear a bunch of kids with nothing official. Israel Emergency Fund, there was a, you know, just, it was incredible. They, kids, keep it up. You're doing great things. Israel Emergency Fund. I remember, as we began to realize that the war wasn't the way Nasser had described it, and as the Israelis began to lift some of the radio silence after they had destroyed the Arab air forces, I remember going to school on a Wednesday morning, and we arrived at the King's Highway Station, and you know, we had transistor radios. Right? Those were the days of the transistor radios, and you couldn't hear very well on the train, but when the train opened the door, you could hear. And then the train door opens at King's Highway, and I was coming from a neighborhood. The Sheepshead Bay, Brighton Beach area was a very, it was a mixed Jewish and Italian neighborhood. But there were, it was very Jewish, you know, and most of the people on the train were Jews going into Manhattan to work, to business. The train doors open. There are a few yeshiva kids standing with transistor radios. It was almost like there was a stereo system on the train. They open the door on King's Highway Station, and Jay Brzezinski comes on the radio and he says, "The Israel Defense Forces have announced the capture of the old city of Jerusalem and of the Western Wall." And the car, everyone goes up and whoop, yay! And everyone, people on the train are hugging and kissing each other. This wonderful thing happened. I remember it was a very, very moving thing. I also remember Jay Brzezinski once reporting, and the area that he was standing in was being attacked by a MiG, by a plane. I don't remember if it was a Jordanian MiG coming in after them, or a Syrian MiG, I don't remember. And he says, "Oh, we're being attacked. Oh, the Israelis got him! Hey, we got him! We knocked that plane out of the sky." It was just it was euphoric. I remember on the Thursday of the war, there was a rally in Lafayette Park in Washington D.C., across the street from the White House, and I was quite a confused kid. Nothing much has changed in all those years. But I was a member of Bnei Akiva. I used to go to a lot of Bnei Akiva events. I went to Camp Monk, which was a more Haredi type of boys camp, not terribly Haredi at the time. They did take boys from YU at the time. And I went to BTA. And they have this rally in Washington. And so we go to the city. I get on a bus with the Bnei Akivaniks. I remember seeing Rav Herschel Schechter, who was a young, I don't even think he was not yet even a Rosh Yeshiva at YU. He was just a Talmud Chacham at YU. And it's, you know, this crowd of kids were going to Washington to go support Israel. And as we come close to Washington, you have this long line of buses, this big traffic delay, traffic jam, and we get to Lafayette Park, and there's nothing much organized there. People are just milling about. Shlomo Kalbach, Zichrono Levracha, is standing there strumming his guitar, and then a couple of busloads of people that I knew, my counselor, Rabbi Schefter Neuberger. Schefter Neuberger comes with a whole crowd of people from Yeshivas Ne'er Yisrael. Two busloads of Ne'er Yisrael boys come. There were Beis Yaakov girls. There were YU boys and Stern College girls and Bnei Akiva. And some people that, since I was a Bnei Akivanik, I also knew a lot. I knew people from HaShomer HaTzair, from Beitar, from Dror, the different Zionist youth groups. Everyone is there in Washington. People in jeans. It was a hot day. Men and women in shorts, men in black hats, men in yarmulkes, girls in skirts, girls in pants. It was just an interesting crowd, and no one really knows what's happening until they announce over the loudspeakers that the Egyptians have surrendered in the Sinai. And then spontaneously, and this was one of the great memories of my life, I have to tell you, it was one of the most inspirational moments for me as a Jew who believes that, you know, we really are one people. It's just sometimes it's really hard to, you know, when you watch all that goes on, you listen to the Knesset sometimes, say, are we really one people? When you see these people insulting each other and all the fights that go on, here we are, men with hats, men without yarmulkes, men with shorts, men with jeans, men with suits. Men, they form one circle. Women with shorts, women with skirts, women with pants, Women with their heads covered, women without their heads covered, they form a circle. And there are two circles that are just dancing, and Kalbach is singing, Am Yisrael Chai, Odavinu Chai, Odavinu Chai. And it was just an incredible, incredible moment. It was the one moment in my life that I said, wow, we are one people. We may look different, but we really are one. It was just one of the incredible, incredible moments. I have one last memory. It's not such a pleasant memory, but in knowing where we are today and where we were then, it's, I think, an important memory. So there was a Bnei Akiva shliach in the States at the time who lived in Brighton Beach. I was friendly with him. His name was Itchy Fuchs. He's still alive, Baruch Hashem. He lives in Kibbutz Tirat Tzvi. And he was the shliach. And so I used to like talking to him. He was a very friendly guy. And there was a minyan in the Brighton Yeshiva, which was off of Neptune Avenue. And that Shabbos, I walked to Brighton Yeshiva because I wanted to talk about the war with Itchy Fuchs. And he told me he left the radio on all Shabbos. And he was describing to me the Israelis had started on Friday their ascent into the Golan Heights. And he was telling me about the about what he had heard on the radio and where things were holding. And there were a good number of men and women who were studying in yeshivos in Israel who came home. And they gave an aliyah to a yeshiva bachar, you know, a very frum yeshiva bachar. And they made a misha berach for the soldiers of the IDF, and he spit in front of the Sefer Torah. And a big, big fight broke out in shul over that incident. I remember it happened on that Shabbos. It was shocking to me. I didn't understand. Why would anyone spit in front of the Sefer Torah? So I just want to say, I mentioned the story. It's not a pleasant story, but I also want to tell you that that this year, for example, in the Haredi community, in several places, they actually had observances of Yom HaZikaron with huge crowds. They had observances of Yom HaTzmut. Maybe they did it a little differently than you would do it in Gush Etzion or in a Yeshivat Hezder. In Brooklyn, the last 2 years, there were in a few places in Brooklyn, there were packed houses, standing room only. One Chassidish Rebbe in one other place where people actually came from the Haredi community to celebrate the existence of the State of Israel and to acknowledge the sacrifice that people have made. And I just want to say that from 1967 to now, in that sense, things are changing. Changes come slowly, but there are things that are changing in the community. Those were just memories of a boy then. I had never been to Israel in 1967, but it was a moment that is printed on my neshama. As a Jew and as somebody who has a relationship with Israel. And the same way the Russians might tell you that 1967 really broke the Jews of silence into Jews that it hit home over there also, and the eye patch of Moshe Dayan hit home. That was, 1967 was a real watershed of Jewish history. Okay, the next part of the program are three songs. When my wife and Ricky attended the senior educators program in Jerusalem at the Melton Center of the Hebrew University, so she had to do a thesis for her year of study, and the year of study she concentrated on Jerusalem, and one segment of it was Songs of Jerusalem. So we're going to just learn the content of three songs. We're going to play the songs. Maybe people will choose to sing with us. Then we have a very short video. And with that, we'll close the program.